Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Transfiguration Sunday is an amazing gift to the church. Oh, I'm sorry, children's time, yes. If there's any children that want to go. Gloria's trying to round up the troops here. Take a little bit. Even if you don't want to go, you're going, right? Doesn't get that from me. Transfiguration Sunday is an amazing Sunday in the church year. It's the end of Epiphany. It's right before we have Fat Tuesday or Mardi Gras or whatever you want to say, the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday. And we get into the season of Lent, the 40 days of prayer, fasting, and contemplation. And I always, as a child, loved Transfiguration Sunday. I loved all the big festival days because the choir would sing amazing songs and all the candles would be lit. The Christ candle would be lit. I mean, it was a big day. And it was always amazing to hear the pastor get up and share similar sermon to what was given at the beginning of Epiphany with the Baptism of Our Lord Sunday. Remember the Baptism of Our Lord Sunday? I was actually not here, but Brian Varblow preached, and at the Baptism of Our Lord, what does God say when Jesus comes up out of the water? Yes, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. He doesn't say listen to him that time. He says, this is my Son whom I love with whom I am well pleased. But at the end of Epiphany, after we've been taught important truths throughout this whole period after Christmas, between Christmas and Lent, we get to hear those words again. And this is where you're right, that this is my beloved Son. We could translate it, this is my Son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. And he adds, listen to him. Listen to him. Three very important words, but they're at a different place now, aren't they? At the place where he begins his ministry in baptism, that's the call that we have in our life. It's kind of like when we're children, you know. We're called into the faith. It's a calling that we have. We are given our identity as believers, as children of God. But it's after we've been taught, and this is what Epiphany is all about, is teaching, that we get to the end and we hear these wonderful words again, the same words in a very different situation. For example, when Jesus came up out of the waters of baptism, we see the dove coming down and we see the words, this is my Son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased, or this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. And it's, you know, people hear it, it's amazing, they see the dove. But it's at the Mount of Transfiguration that everything ties together. It's in Luke's gospel, it's actually the culmination of everything, because from there it goes all the way down to Jerusalem. In Mark's gospel, it's a little different, but similar. It's the crescendo of Jesus' ministry. He has just said, in Matthew's gospel, he's just said, people will not die before they see the kingdom of heaven revealed. And all of a sudden they go up on the mountain. It's amazing. So when you see the Mount of Transfiguration here on Transfiguration Sunday, what do you see when Jesus takes his three closest disciples, the three he spent the most time with? Right? He had 12, but he spent the most time with the three. When he takes them up to the mountain, what happens there? He takes Peter, James, and John up on the mountain, and as he's praying, what happens? He transfigures or transforms in front of them. This must have been something, you know. I like the way that Mark's gospel, the English Standard, they try to explain as like no bleach could make them. Because in that time, bleach was the thing that could make things the whitest, right? And he's basically saying this is whiter than anything else. And then who does he meet there? Moses and Elijah. Why are Moses and Elijah significant? Okay, the law and the prophets, that's very good, yeah. But what else is interesting about both of these individuals? And this is, I have to apologize because I wrote my thesis for my master's degree on the intertestamental period. And in the intertestamental period between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the people of Israel really were fascinated with Moses and Elijah. You know why? They're also, because they didn't die. Because it doesn't say in the scriptures that they died. What it says is that God took Moses, same as Enoch, right? Enoch's big in the interdisciplinary period too, because it says he walked with God. Sounds really kind of nice, eh? He walked with God. We're always trying to find ways for when people die to make it sound nicer, right? They went to heaven. They're with the Lord. They walk with God. You know, I mean, we're always trying to find ways to not say they died, right? Just the reality. That's the way we do things. And so, but in the Bible, it's very specific. No one saw Moses die. No one saw Moses buried, right? You know this. Okay. What about Elijah? What happened to Elijah? Yeah. Woo-hoo. Yeah. Seriously. Remember, Elijah was keeping his eye on him. All the prophets were warning him. Remember, why did Elisha keep his eye on him? This is a little aside note, but I think it's kind of important. Yeah. Yes. Double portion of the Spirit. if one portion wasn't enough, you know? I mean, he raises people from the dead. I mean, he does all this stuff, and yet he wants a double portion. Talk about greed. Yeah. So and Elijah says, yeah, you can have it if you see me leave, right? Yeah. And so he's watching him. He's watching him and this wonderful, I mean, I would love to have seen that, you know. Chariot of fire comes and he's gone. So in the intertestamental period, these two were honored because they represented the prophets, the law and the prophets. But they were also honored because nobody really knew what happened with them. And so it's really fascinating because when they appear, what does the Bible say about this when they appear? It says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Now, in the other gospel, I believe it's in Luke's gospel, it talks about how they were talking about his exodus or the cross. But it doesn't say that here. It just simply says they were talking with Jesus. But what's interesting is John Mark, who wrote this gospel, who was actually given most of the information by Peter, which is kind of fascinating to me. he tries to, how many of you had a really good mentor that you respect totally? And even if they make a really funny mistake, you try to make it sound noble. Any of you ever did that, you know? When someone you liked did something really outrageous, you go, yeah, but you know, he was tired. Or, you know, he was stressed. Or, well, he really didn't know what he was saying. Well, look at what John Mark says. And Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it's good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. What did he want to do? He wanted to have a retreat. If you think retreats are new things, they aren't. Right? Didn't he want to have a retreat? Let's just stay here. We got the big three. We got Jesus, we got Moses and Elijah. Come on. Let's stay here. This is a great place. So let's build booths, which is the festival that they would have just celebrated. Let's stay here. Let's build these tents and stay here for a while. And I love it because Mark is so nice. He says, for he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Now, we accept that, right? Because wouldn't you be? You're in the presence of a transfigured Jesus meeting with Moses and Elijah. Wouldn't you be terrified? Yeah. I mean, we don't hold it against them. I mean, it makes sense, right? And then the cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. There's little brackets there because you could put, this is the son whom I loved, with whom I am well pleased. You can either or. Listen to him. And suddenly looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. Now, why this is important is it brings the Old Testament and the New Testament together, right? It's going to be Peter, James, and John who are going to lead the 11 or the 12, depending on how you look at it, the church, the New Testament church, they're going to lead them. Moses and Elijah are the Old Testament. It brings everything together, and it brings everything together with Jesus. I love those words, the way that they're translated there, and saw anyone with them but Jesus only. Because isn't this all about Jesus? It's all about Jesus. Moses and Elijah were there pointing to Jesus. Peter, James, and John are there following Jesus. And God is there, God the Father. And what is he doing? He's testifying to Jesus. This is my beloved Son. And even more so, listen to him. Because he is going to be saying some things that are going to blow your mind. He's going to be saying some things that you're not going to want to hear. And so God is instilling in them, you know, this is my Son. If Moses and Elijah weren't enough to prove it to you, if transfiguring before he was enough to prove it to you, then I'm going to make it clear. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. I mean, if they came down from the mountain and still didn't listen, I don't know. It doesn't sound like there's much hope. But for us, we got the end of the story, right? We know the end of the story. And it's interesting because he tells them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Now, if they would have listened to this last statement here, would they have reacted the way they're going to react in a few chapters? When Peter says, I will never abandon you and this will never happen to you, right? You see, it's amazing because this is a truly fantastic moment. I'm like Peter, I would just like to stay there for a moment. Wouldn't you just like to stay there for a moment? And see, it's a picture of everything. Past, present, future. It's a picture of God the Father and overshadowed, I believe, with the Holy Spirit and the words that he speaks. I mean, it is awesome. And that's the way to end a series on being called and chosen, brothers and sisters. Is to know that God still envelops us, doesn't he? He still overshadows us. He still makes his presence known to us. He promises that he makes his presence known to us in his word. He promises he makes his presence known to us in his body and blood. He promises to make his presence known to us whenever two or more are gathered in my name. He says, whenever two or more agree on anything, it should be done for them. I mean, do you understand what an amazing gift it is to be here today? To be gathered as his children, to be gathered in his name, to be gathered in his presence, to know his amazing gift that he has for us. That when we listen to him, he's telling us things that are of eternal significance. What he tells us when we listen to him is how precious we are. He tells us when we listen to him how important we are. He tells us when we listen to him how precious and loved and forgiven and amazing we are. When we listen to him, he says, don't listen to the world. Don't listen to your sinful nature. Don't listen to Satan. Don't listen to the people that point out all your faults. Listen to me. Because he's the one who made us. He's the one who has plans for us. He's the one who has purposed us. That's why we talked about calling and vocation, because it's really important to know what our calling is. What did we say a calling was again? It's on. Maybe not. Okay. Pardon me? Yeah. I can't get the slide, though. There. Yeah, we'll never know. Keep going. I've already done all the. There we go. And what we talked about was vocation. What is it? What you are passionate about. What God has given you that burns in your heart. What you're passionate about. What the world needs. Because you're here for a purpose, right? You're here because God has called you. You're not here. How many of us believe we're here by accident or a fluke? I hope not. We believe that the sovereign Lord has purposed us, that we are here for a purpose. And I love this definition of vocation or calling, because when we are passionate about something, it's not by mistake. Today they were joking on the way in about my artistic abilities. Not. They were talking about all the things I could do well. Well, artistic things is not one of them. So, I know that I'm not passionate about it, okay? But some people are, and that's awesome. Because I am sure that the Lord is going to use you in your area of passion when he shows you what needs are, and you're going to have a sense of calling, no matter what it is. I mean, I had a parishioner one time who loved to see the floor clean. He was passionate about the floor being clean. And guess what? We were in a church where it had a need for a floor that was clean. And he had a sense of calling, and you could not dissuade him. He was actually depressed when somebody at the annual meeting put up their hand and said, can we get a janitor? He was like totally depressed for a week. I mean, people like to do what they're passionate. And the calling that we have in our life, whatever it is, I mean, we always think of calling as something big, but it could be something small. Remember, I showed you a slide a few weeks back when we started this series about how Martin Luther would talk about the guy milking the cow? That if that's what you're called to do, then milk the cow. It doesn't matter how small the world may look at things, but what matters is, are you doing what God has called you to do? Because it may not always be to be Billy Graham, which most pastors I have found over my life would like to be, or to be someone famous, or to be someone who is at the top of your field. It may not be that. Because in order to do that, a lot of times you have to compromise. It may be to be faithful to the small things, as Jesus said, so that they can be faithful with the big things. Brothers and sisters, your calling is to know that your identity in Christ, to know that you're beloved children of God, and to out of that let your obedience flow. Listen to him. Listen to him. I think in our society, we don't spend enough time listening to him, right? In our society, we like to ask God for what we need, not what he wants. So brothers and sisters, may we as God's people recognize the promise of God. Recognize that he has great things in store for us. Recognize who we are in Christ, that we are kingdom people, that we are given authority. And out of that authority flows power because we speak for Jesus. Jesus hasn't changed. His words are the same. I want to just close with one reading that I had this morning in my devotions. And it's out of the Message Bible. I apologize for people that don't like the Message Bible, but it's where is it here? Sorry. This is a last minute thing. You should never do those last minute things. Okay. It says here, this is from Proverbs 6. Having trouble with my phones. Are wonderful things when they work. It says, calloused climbers betray their very own friends. They'd stab their own grandmothers in the back. A shifty eye betrays an evil intent. A clenched jaw signals trouble ahead. Gray hair is a mark of distinction. I would say no hair is a mark of distinction too. The award for a God-loyal life. Moderation is better than muscle. Self-control better than political power. And finally, make your motions and cast your votes, but God has the final say. Isn't that awesome? That was in my devotions this morning. But it just reminded me that if we're faithful with the little things, if we're faithful in doing what God has called us to, if we're faithful to knowing our name as God's people and faithful to knowing who we are as called and chosen people, then God can use us in powerful ways, right? I had David and Goliath there because David knew who he was. He could take on Goliath. I had, I mentioned a number of them. Gideon and his army continuing to decrease in number, but yet having amazing power. God is faithful. God wants us to know how precious we are, that we are his beloved children with whom he is well pleased, and he wants us to listen to him. Can we do that? Can we listen to him? Because it's God's words that we want. It's God's way that we want. It's God in all things. Amen.